WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into football season. I've done so much crab cake eating, traveling, rocking and rolling. The concerts are back. The Ravens are in Denver, Colorado this weekend, and it gives me a chance to visit with old friends. Brandon Stokely, I've been knowing him since he came out of the Raging Cajuns here. What's it, 23 years ago now, right?
Wow.
I mean, Brandon Stokely. He was made a life, and really, he always kind of wanted to be me, and I always kind of wanted to be him. It's kind of like a basketball rap thing. He always wanted to do sports radio. So now, this is, I don't know, you make a living doing it, but you do it.
I love doing it. It's fun. So, you know, I got my pulse on the Broncos, and obviously around the NFL. So follow the Ravens, all my former teams, and pull for them. But have definitely enjoyed getting into radio. It's been a lot of fun. I got a great partner, and so having fun doing it.
Well, you know, if you'd have done it in Baltimore, you'd have had a great partner, I would think. So look, man, last time we got together, the Broncos stunk, right? Joe was there, and it wasn't going well, and they didn't have a running game, and the defense had fallen from the Super Bowl year. We get the schedule in April, and it comes out. You know, we open in Vegas, then we have the home game against the Chiefs, and that didn't feel good, and we win that one. Go out to Detroit. That felt like we wouldn't need 66 yards out of Tucker, which was nice to have. But this Denver game was one of those games we looked at and said, well, you know, it's a road game in Denver. It's thin air. They're, you know, it's never hard, but probably won't be a good team.
Right.
At what point do you start believing that the Broncos are a good team, Brandon?
They're a good team. They're a good team. I know you look at – a lot of people look at who they beat, and they haven't really beaten anybody. Giants, Jags, first two games, but both those games were on the road. As the Ravens found out against an awful Detroit team, bad Detroit team, that you go on the road in the NFL, you better bring your A game. And Baltimore didn't do that. And, you know, Tucker
had a kicker that can kick a 66-yard field goal.
That's right. But the Broncos took care of business against both those teams on the road. And then last week at home, just demolished the Jets and Zach Wilson. So, but they're a good football team, and it's going to be a good football game. So, you know, look, the Broncos defense is playing really well. Teddy Bridgewater's like the perfect quarterback for what they're trying to do. They're pretty well rounded on both sides of the football.
You played on a lot of teams, some good ones, some bad ones. Championship, still, I saw that highlight last week. Couple champions. I forget about that Colts thing. We always press that on. But when a team starts believing it's good, right? You were on a lot of those Indianapolis teams that were 7-1, 8-0, like all of that. Getting that sort of momentum. It's one thing. Well, we got Peyton Manning. We know what we got. We know we're going to be good. I think when you're the Broncos, they've been scuffling for a couple years. Nobody really knew about Bridgewater. Jury out on Fangio and all the decisions they've made there the last couple of years in Elway and all that. But 3-0 and starting to feel like, you know, we're better than maybe anybody gave us credit for being. And feeling that in the locker room, that's when it gets special, is when the guys in the room start believing, hey, we're good.
Absolutely. It goes a long way. You know, winning is contagious. Like, you talk all offseason about starting a season fast, about it's going to be different than what it's been, you know, the last 3 or 4 years for the Broncos. And when you go out, and Vic Fangio was 0-7 in September leading up to this year. But when you go out and you start winning games, now you believe that it's going to be different this year. When you lose games, it's hard to believe that everything you talked about in the offseason is going to come to fruition. And this year, they're winning football games. Teddy Bridgewater's, not only is he playing great quarterback play right now, but he's the leader that they needed. They needed a leader. They needed a grown-up running that offense and that football team now. He's a leader of that team, and the guys love him. The guys love playing for him. And, he's just been the perfect match for what the Denver Broncos needed, not only offensively, but in the locker room.
All that guy's ever done is be successful until the point where his leg got mangled, right? Like, I mean, he was successful out of the gate, leadership, just a very, very likable cat, right? And but needed a seat, needed a chance. And and even in a place where he would get a chance, I'm not sure the fan base really believed, right?
Well, you know, you look at last year in Carolina, obviously it didn't work out for him, right? He didn't play well. Carolina stunk. They had a new head coach coming from college, no offseason. And their best player, Christian McCaffrey, was hurt all year. And he didn't play very well. But then you turn the page to this year, and he's got a great supporting cast. He has a team that believes in him. He's got an offense that has some weapons around him, not just one player around him. So they have a lot of different young weapons. They lost Jerry Jeudy, which hurts, and Cortland Sutton's starting to come back off of his ACL from a year ago. But they do have playmakers. They got two solid running backs in Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams. So, they're well-rounded offensively. They're not going to put up 35 a game. But for what the Broncos need, play defense, run the ball well, and don't make mistakes from the quarterback position. Teddy Bridgewater is the perfect guy for this football team.
That division's taken on a whole different complexion, too. I look like, wow, I'm wearing the Justin Herbert, Coons Ford gear here with the Chargers. But Chargers look real. Obviously, the Chiefs are legitimate. And we were out in Vegas 2 weeks ago, and that didn't end well for us out there. They look formidable, too.
Yeah, the division's tough. You know, you got solid teams, and the Chiefs are finding out. If you don't play good football right now, you're going to get beat. And they've been sloppy the last couple weeks. You saw it in Baltimore, and they were sloppy again last week against the Chargers. Too many turnovers, and you can't get away with that when you play good football teams. And they found that out against the Ravens and the Chargers, and they played the Chargers at home, and they still couldn't overcome the mistakes that they made. So they're human. They're going to get things back going again. But at the same time, this division is going to be tough this year. It's going to be a competitive division, and it's going to come down to the last week or two.
Last weekend, I'm tweeting about the lowly Lions, and I'm like, bring in Tucker. Let's kick some field goals, get this shut out, and get out of here. And then the next thing you know, you're losing because you play poorly the last 15, 20 minutes of the game. The Broncos shut the door on the Jets, though, right? I mean, we talk about the offense and Bridgewater, and you talk about the injuries they've had and trying to get back on offense. Defensively, pitching a shutout against the lowly Jets, but
right. –
Where is that defense and Von Miller and all that?
They're good. They're good. They got a really good secondary. Their two safeties are great players, Kareem Jackson, Justin Simmons. And then their cornerbacks, they got Pat Surtain, the first round pick out of Alabama starting.
You ran against his old man, didn't you?
What's that? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Me and him actually came out the same year in high school, both from Louisiana. We played in the high school all-star game together. He was a quarterback, transitioned, went to Southern Miss, transitioned to play DB, and it worked out really, really well.
Well, the Ravens were going to draft him back to your year. I mean, I sat with Phil Savage and DeCosta and those guys, and Surtain was a guy they liked. Not this Surtain, the 20 year ago. So you're, right. You're, yes. Surtain.
Yeah, absolutely. He was a great player, and his son looks like he's going to be a great player. So he's starting now. So they have they got depth there this year in the secondary, which is huge. And Von Miller's back to Von Miller. He's wrecking havoc, and they got some good interior guys. Raymond Jones is a guy not a lot of people have heard, but right there in the middle of that defensive line who can get after the quarterback. So Von is creating havoc again. And then when you have that pressure, plus you got secondary good cover guys, it makes for a good defense, and their defense is playing really well. And they did what good teams do. Good teams, when you play bad teams, you step on them and you don't give them, you don't give them life. And that's what they did last week. And you saw the Ravens. Look, these teams in the NFL, man, if you give them a little bit of hope, Marquise Brown drops a couple of those balls. Next thing you know, Lions are right in the game. It should have been, you should have been up two scores. Well, it's just a one score game. And, next thing you know, you got to kick a 66 yarder. But I mean, Justin Tucker, huh? Wow. I mean, that guy is in 2013, I was teammates with him, and not many guys that I was teammates with are still playing. So he's a great guy, and I was so happy for him and the Ravens.
Did you ever have to go out and kick the field goal? I remember Goose did that. Billick would always on Friday. That was part of his shtick 20 years ago. Is he'd make you guys kick a field goal to show you how difficult it is to do.
Right.
And obviously Matt Stover made it look. So how did you do? You're an athlete, not an athletic supporter. I have a feeling you could make a 30-yard field goal.
I drop kicked it. I drop kicked it, where I had it, took one step, hit the ground and drop kick it. And I got paid, Coach Billick would give you, if you made it, I think you got to pick where you wanted to go from. It was like you go from 20, 25 or 30 or something like that. And wherever you went from, you got, if you made it, he would give you some cash. And so it was always fun, but I got to do it one time. I did make it and got some money, but I was, you know, I kept on signing. You would sign up on the board, and I kept on signing up every single week, but he would never pick me. He just always like Saragusa, Ray Lewis, Chris McAllister, you know, Trent. I mean, everybody else was going. I kept on getting bypassed, and I'm like, Billick, are you trying to tell me something without telling me something here? But I finally got the call up, and I did make it.
Are you in the Raging Cajun Hall of Fame? I see that jersey behind you.
Yes, I am.
Is that the Hall of Fame jersey?
I think they might have gave me that when they did retire.
That's good,
when
they retired, man. I like that.
When they retired my number there, they gave me that jersey.
Now, you have Raven stuff in your office. I mean, I'm just not looking at it. I know you've shown me.
Oh, I got my Super Bowl jersey hung up with my Super Bowl gloves and my wristband right there to my
right. That's not an Indianapolis Colt a trophy behind you, is it?
To my right. No, that's a Baltimore Ravens one, buddy.
Oh, I was going to say. I'm just making sure.
To Ravens one. So, I'm proud of that one. I'm proud of both of them, but I'm especially proud of that Ravens Super Bowl. I didn't get to play in the second one with the Colts, so that Ravens one, the first one, is always a little bit more special than anything else. And certainly, you know, I mean, that was just different times. And it was
20 years ago.
Just a magical time in my life. And to be able to just think back to it and how new that football franchise was, the Ravens, and just, you know, kind of showing up out of nowhere, just a young kid out of Louisiana Lafayette, not knowing anything. You know, I just knew the South and knew Louisiana, and just all of a sudden I'm on my own and I'm in Baltimore, and how they welcomed me and there in Maryland and Baltimore. I mean, it was just, just thinking back to those times, it was special times, and just really, you know, proud and thankful to have been part of that organization and been there in Baltimore for 4 years. And then I got to return there in 2013.
Well, you make your home out there in Cherry Creek out in Denver, Colorado, affectionately known as the house that Peyton built. Look, you went into radio. I mean, you got the broadcaster thing going on now. How did Peyton take his brother to this cast? Why weren't you the partner in this Monday Night Football endeavor?
Yeah.
And are you watching it, or are you sitting next to Peyton when he's doing it, pitchforking him next door?
Well, I need to be sitting next to him, you know, giving him some advice. But I don't know how that worked. I guess the brother thing, you know, Eli does have a little bit bigger name than me.
Why wouldn't they bring you in as a guest host 1 week or something?
I guess it was me or LeBron, and LeBron won out. Nick Saban or Brandon Stoker. Nick Saban won out. I mean, you know.
I thought you had a relationship here. I thought you babysat his kids. I thought he owed you something.
He's going for all the A-listers. That's really not my cup of tea.
Show because you're not like an A-lister.
That's right. I like doing Zoom with Nestor, right? I like doing just local radio. That's more up my alley. But I know I have watched it, and I thought last week the Cowboys Eagles, it was the best one yet. Anytime you start,
well, America's
new,
in love with their broadcast, right? I've only watched it for a minute or two. I haven't really sat and watched it, but it is 3 weeks into this. It's a sensation. It's a hit. It's one of the biggest hits in sports right now, right? Like every Monday night, hang out with the Manning brothers and have them pick on each other and watch the football game. It's an interesting concept. I mean, I'm sure you've had this action with Peyton for 20 years, right?
Yeah, no, it is. And, you know, what I love, you know, I feel like I know football. That's one thing that I do know. That's about all I know is football, right? And so, but I'm out watching it, and I love hearing them break plays down, you know. And they did a great job with the Philly Cowboys one on the sack fumble interception by Dak early in that football game. Just talking about, you know, why what happened. And you don't get that from just normal broadcasters. And hear from Eli and from Peyton, and then they break it down. And I don't need to see every play, but I like being able to watch the game. And I like hearing their perspective of what's going wrong, what needs to change. And I think they do a good job of that. And I think they're getting better and better at it. But I've enjoyed it. You know, it's funny. Those two guys are really funny, right? I mean, that's them. And,
you've had that in the real world, right? You've been subjected to the real Peyton, and that's pretty much what they're getting on Monday night for the most part.
That's
right?
It. I mean, you see his reactions. You know, I mean, that's who he is. You know, when a quarterback makes a mistake, he's like, oh, you know, because that's him. And, you know, those are natural reactions from him. And but it is. I think people enjoy seeing that from him, but also enjoy being able to get that information from those two guys. You're talking about two of the best to ever do it. You can't just get that anywhere.
Did you know Eli all along, or when you got to the Giants for 5 minutes? Did you at camps and stuff like that? Have you known him the whole time?
I knew him, you know, when I met Peyton from the Manning Passing Academy back when I was in college. You know, he was in probably middle school then, and he was at the camp and as a camper. And so I knew him then through high school, and even when he got to Ole Miss, just from going to the Manning Passing Academy. And then obviously when I was teammates with Peyton, you know, Eli would, you know, when he would come up to a game or whatever, you would see him or, so I knew Eli.
Well, you're associated with Peyton, you know, obviously, right. but I'm thinking you may have known Eli better because you were sort of an also ran kid and he was sort of the younger brother and Peyton was Mr. Peyton the whole time. Right.
And Peyton are the same age, you know, and Eli's a lot younger. So, and then me and Peyton were teammates. So, you know, Eli's like, you know, the little brother to all of us, I guess. But yeah, I mean, me and Peyton, you know, just being teammates and,
you ever get Peyton a hard time and say Eli threw a better ball or no? Nothing like that.
No. I can't do that. You know,
you'd be a good wedge to separate them. I mean, it would be kind of interesting.
Well, you know, I mean, Peyton threw me a lot more passes than Eli. And, you know, I was a member of a Super Bowl team with Peyton. And Peyton still lives here in Denver. Eli doesn't.
So you have to be nice to Peyton. I get it.
Takes me to play golf. I don't have to pay for it. So, you know, if anything, I'm taking a shot at Eli, not Peyton.
So you pick
on
the little brother.
I'm smarter than I look, Nestor. I'm smarter than I look.
Well, I mean, and you got the little brother thing. You can always just continue to pick on him later in life. It's fine. Brandon Stokely is here. Anything you want to say about the Ravens? We've talked so much about Tucker and your life and Manning and the Broncos, but the Ravens have been on TV last 3 weeks, right? Maybe not the Detroit game, but the first two, I'm sure you watch cover to cover, Monday Night Football, Sunday Night Football, playing the Chiefs. You're doing sports radio. Give me some observations on what you're seeing from the Ravens here thus far.
Well, you know, obviously Lamar Jackson's a one-on-one and very talented and can do a little bit of everything. I think, when you look at them and you try to defend them defensively, you just don't see this in the NFL, this style of an offense. And so it's hard to get your team ready to play in 1 week and get them prepared for what they see. And it's a lot of thinking there defensively, like who has the football? And then before you know, Lamar has the ball, he's already by you. And they got weapons on the outside. So I think when I watch the Ravens, the one thing that I look at and the one thing that I kind of say, I think they need to clean up in the passing game. Sometimes I think there's too much gray area there. You know, when they're running shallow crosses and Lamar thinks the guy is sitting down, he continues to run. And I just think that they need to clean that up. And that's one thing that, you know, when I was with Peyton and Indy, there was never any gray area. It was like, hey, this is what you got to do. This is where you need to be. You know, if you're going to continue to run, you know, you look at me. If you're going to stop, you stop and throw your hands up. And to me, Lamar never knows when the guys are stopping or moving on the move. And I think that's one thing that they need to kind of fine tune in their passing game, because if they can take that passing game and just improve it a little bit more, that offense is just so dangerous because teams have to play them man to man, single high safety. You got to commit a lot of guys to the box to stop the run. So passing game is there. I think they just need to clean up a few things there. And if they do offensively, they're just tough to deal with. And the Ravens defensively, you know, they're the Ravens. I mean, they got the mentality that they've had for 20 something years, and they're a tough group. They make you earn everything. They're going to pressure you, you know, Wink Martindale over there. I was with him in Denver and, you know, he's a tough old guy. And so he's perfect for the Ravens defense. But you know, they had obviously a tough stretch there, Nestor, with the injuries. And you hate to see it. You know, two guys in one practice and you're talking about two starters.
Well, it feels like the ceiling's not as high as it was going to be. I mean, we spent the whole offseason talking about them loading up and the players they're bringing in. They've had vaccination issues that led to last week after defense wasn't out there. So they've had a lot of things that – Eric couldn't have planned for, John couldn't have planned for, all the best laid plans of the offseason. When you start taking on a dozen injuries before you start playing, and then you know the season, there's going to be more. It's very difficult to feel like they're a Super Bowl contender until I see more of whatever this is. And honestly, you know, DaCosta signed three credible running backs, you know, Freeman, Murray, and Le'Veon Bell on the same day, three days before the season began. And then trying to get those guys to understand when the ball's going to get tucked and when it's going to go, because this is unique. I mean, playing in an option offense with these RPOs, I thought the ball would hit the ground a lot more often than it has over 4 years with Lamar.
Yeah.
I thought fumbling would be a built-in problem with this offense.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, you look at the running backs that they brought in, it's not the easiest system. When these guys have been playing in more of an NFL system and not a, you know, college type of running system, that's not easy to do. But the injuries, you know, that's what you just can't predict NFL, because injuries can change a season in a heartbeat. And certainly it did that for the Ravens. Now, look, I know John Harbaugh's mentality. I know the Ravens' mentality. You know, they're going to come out fighting every single week. And that's what I love about the Ravens. And I love about John Harbaugh. They're not backing down. And so you've seen that. They're going to continue to fight. And they're going to be in the mix. And all you want is a chance. Like, you know, you saw it in 2012. I mean, just getting to the playoffs. And they certainly have enough talent to be able to do that. Tough division over there in that division. But, you know, you got playmakers. You got a quarterback that can do it all. And you still have you know, a defense that teams have to respect. And when you have a running game like the Ravens, I mean, look, they can make some noise if they just get into the dance. And I think they will get into the dance.
Denver Broncos, 4 o'clock on Sunday. Brandon Stokely, Super Bowl 35 champion, with us right now from Cherry Creek, doing sports radio out there in Denver on a daily basis, talking all things Broncos. You do Avalanche and Rockies. You do all that, right? Or just football?
For yeah, you know, it depends. Yeah. If they're playing well, I'll talk about them. You know, if not, nah. You know, I'm a football guy. Now, look, I love hockey. I love it. Avalanche had a good team. They got a really good team. Nuggets, same thing. So, you know, when they're playing well, we talk about them. If not, we don't talk much about them. So I'm kind of all in on the Broncos and the NFL. And the great thing about that, it's pretty much year round.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. It is a football town. Brandon, I hope that you make it onto the Manning cast 1 week. I think you would be a delightful addition.
You know, Ness, I'm busy. My Mondays are busy. You know,
I'm seeing you as a wedge guy, you know, to be the wedge between the brothers. I figure you could probably come in there and stir it up and get in fighting with each other. That'd be fun.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
That's why I would hire you.
My Mondays are really busy. You know, I'm doing a bunch of stuff for my wife. And so I don't know if my schedule will free up for me to be able to do that.
Well, if he asks, you know, I would think you could make a little time, but I'm glad you always make time for me. So if Peyton asks,
yeah.
I would think you'll make time for him too. Brandon Stokely is out in your B Stokely 14, correct? Add on the Twitter thing. You can find Brandon, stay up with him. I understand we had a reunion here that has been postponed for the 20 years.
Yeah.
Is that correct? I heard that from Kim Herring. I was out in Vegas. I ran into him. I know everybody was sort of looking forward to later on next month coming back here and being a part of this thing.
Yeah, bummed out. You know, always love to get back to Baltimore, especially when you see your old teammates and the coaches. There's nothing like that's what it's all about now. When you get to be, you know, I'm 45 and you're done with football, you don't have that anymore. But when you get to see that group that you had so many great memories with and did something that, you know, you never dreamt you could do. And you get to go get back with those guys. It's like you never left. And we had a Zoom reunion last year, and that was cool. You know, we got a nice bottle of wine, some cigars. They mailed to us. It was awesome. Raven certainly took care of us, and we're going to do it upright this year in person. And unfortunately, this thing just hasn't let us. We're not able to do it. But you know, we'll get it done hopefully here soon. But certainly, I'm disappointed. I think a lot of guys are disappointed that, you know, we're not doing it there in Baltimore at the stadium in front of the fans at a game, and we get to see each other in person. That's a bummer, but that's just the way it is.
And beat the Bengals while we're at it. Well, I, you know, it's been a crazy year for the reunion thing. I mean, Lionel Dalton got a kidney recently here in Baltimore. So there's a lot of news on the Super Bowl 35.
That was great news.
And the 2000 Ravens. So I'm going to get Jelly on and track him down. Last time I saw Jelly, we were eating a steak over Roos Chris during the last reunion. So it feels like a minute ago, but we tried to bring people together. That was the Billick Ring of Honor induction, I think is what that was. But it's never far removed 20 years later with you guys back in the Super Bowl 35 year that we all stay together. And we'll get you back in here, and I'll get out to Denver soon. We'll talk some more football soon. It's great having you on, Brandon. Thanks for visiting, man.
You know, anytime, Nestor. I certainly appreciate you, and you know, had so many great times there. You know, those 4 years were so special. It was unbelievable. And so always great to chat with you, buddy. Glad to see you doing well.
I thought you were done. Then they brought you back 10 years later. So it's fine. I mean, at some point you'll be here and we'll be participating in Purple Memories. Brandon Stokely, find him at BStokely14. He's out in Denver doing sports radio and preparing us and you for Broncos and Ravens on Sunday. Luke is in Owings Mills preparing for all things Ravens as well. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on Friday at Nacho Mama's in Towson. Come on by, say hello. I got some great visitors. Nancy Haffer going to stop by from the Towson Chamber of Commerce. My dude, Steve Elliott, going to come by and fix my neck and my back, and Elliott Chiropractic. We're going to be there from 2 until 5 on Friday. All of it presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. I'm Nestor. Nasty at WNST.net finds me. Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Snapchat, anywhere in the world you travel. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.